Praise God. Praise God. Let's see. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. I'm going to go over there in a little bit. I want to talk to you this morning about, we're ministering on the Holy Spirit. And so it gets down to this very important place of being led by the Spirit. I call my lesson, "Is That You, Holy Spirit?" I think we've all been to that place where we're not sure if we're hearing or not. We've probably, if we're real honest with ourselves, we would say there are times when we thought we were being led by the Spirit, and it turned out to be not the right Spirit, or our own Spirit. And so it's a learning process, but there's not much it's more important when it comes down to it than being led by the Spirit. Here's the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, God Himself living on the inside of us, all knowledge, all power, all wisdom, all present, everywhere present. And He wants to help us. Think about those seven names. I can't remember all of them, but Comforter, Counselor, Intercessor, Standby, Strengthener, all those things that He is for us. But He doesn't just say, "You're going to do this whether you like it or not." We have to tap into Him, and it's a learning experience. It was a learning experience for the guys in the Bible. And we've got to do the same thing. We're learning. Diane and I would tell you that we've missed it, and we've hit it. We've hit home runs. We've bunted, fouled out. You know, we've tried a little bit of everything in the past. And you struck out, yeah. But there's no reason to feel bad about the past. God doesn't judge us. We don't go to the throne of judgment. We go to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Praise God. So we want to keep doing that, but we want to learn in the process. We want to get better at it as we go. I think even people like John Lake, I think, was the one who wrote about driving down the road and having the sense that he needed to get off to the right now, and he got off, and just that time, the truck came the other way. It would have knocked him off the edge over a bank. But he got over and was rescued. I would think he would probably say if he was here. He missed it a few times. But he hit it right a lot of times too. And we obviously want to get it right more than we get it wrong. Somebody said a long time ago, I think it was Tom Mann was here, Dave's dad, and said that decisions are like the intersections of our life. You got here today from your house by going to certain places and making a turn this way or turn that way or not turning. And if you do that wrong, you don't get here. You could really want to get here. You could be sincere about getting here. But if you don't make the right turns along the way, you don't get here. And I hate driving along to somewhere we don't know and then recognizing we're not on the right path, we're not on the right road, and they might have to ask for directions. That's awful. Or admit to my wife that I don't know where we're going and ask the GPS, and of course, she would probably stay, what is it, recalculating. And praise God, God does that for us too. When we get off the path, he has a way to get us back on again. But it would be better to make the turns correctly along the way. When I was at Northeast Bible Institute years ago, I had a sense that something was up and spent a long night trying to figure out what it was and never did figure out. When I got to Rhema years later, I had that sense that something was up on my trip to Rhema, driving in that half-hour drive in the morning. And I just knew it had to be do with my dad. And I prayed in the Spirit on the way there, because you can't pray any other way when that's all you know is it has to do with somebody, but I don't know what it's about. And when I pulled into the parking lot, I had the sense it was taken care of. And I know I've shared this with you before, but I'm trying to help you see that you can get it right, but you can miss it too. So then I found out a couple weeks later when Diane's mom visited us that my dad was driving to work at that time, that very time, and he pulled through an intersection where he had the right of way, and he got hit broadside by a tractor trailer going the other way. But he was thrown out of the car, but he just ended up with just a couple scratches on his face. And I think God was looking for somebody to pray. And so, you know, you want to pay attention to those things and not miss it. We had a teacher at Northeast Bible Institute who used to talk about getting all set up for breakfast and looking at his beautiful pancakes there and everything, and then the Lord saying, "I need somebody to pray." And you say, "Lord, have you seen the pancakes?" You know. But if he's found us, he's found us. Praise God! It's time to do something about that. I was thinking also about some of you remember Dr. Jim Zirkel, and it's been, 20, 25 years ago. It's been a while now. We got a phone call in the middle of the night that they had taken off from one place in Guatemala to fly back to their home airport up in Shayla, up in the mountains. And there was a hurricane going through, and they tried to, they couldn't, there was no signal on the ground to show them where to land when they couldn't see. So they tried to go to Guatemala City, and that was closed. The main airport was closed. So it's a short flight back to where they were, and they flew over and tried to see, and finally had to take a chance of landing and crashed into the mountain. And Dr. Zirkel and his son-in-law, a bunch of them lost their lives. It's about signal. You know, you need that signal. You need to know where you're going. You need to. It's like we need to be instrument rated airplanes. We're flying through life, and sometimes you can't see. I don't understand it, but I've heard said that from people that know these things, that you don't even know up from down if you can't see in an airplane. You don't. The Navy pilot one time crashed. He was upside down, and he tried to pull out of his dive there or whatever, and he pulled into the ground instead of pulling up the other way because he didn't know which way was which. Well, there are signals that the Lord's given us along the way, and we got to learn to pay attention to those things and learn to be led by the Spirit. Think about it. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 3, this young man named Samuel was being trained by Eli, and in the middle of the night he heard a voice calling him, and he kept coming to Eli and saying, what you want? He said, "I haven't called you. What you want? I haven't called you." And finally Eli got the inkling that God was trying to speak to Samuel and told him to listen next time. It wasn't good for Eli, but it was good for Samuel. Now, that takes us to Acts chapter 16. In verse 6, Paul's out on one of his mission trips with his team. Said, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia." Yeah, I'm doing pretty good so far, right? "But the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." What's happening here? Paul's trying to figure out what the Spirit wants him to do. Isn't that right? Isn't that correct? And I've tried to go this way, and I figured out north and south and east and west, but didn't look all that up. But he was trying to go one way, and I don't know how, but the Holy Spirit said, "Nope, that's not it." You know, sometimes you have to get moving and do something, and then you recognize, nope, that's not the way to go. Because any car is easier to steer when it's moving than it is when it's standing still. Sometimes you can't wait forever and say, "Well, when you give me some leading, I'm going to go." You start going, and then you recognize, nope, not this way. And then you begin to find the way. Amen? How many found that to be true? Praise God. So Paul was doing the same thing. In this particular case, he had a dream or a vision. Sometimes the Lord leads that way. Not always, though. Sometimes dreams are just our psychological, I don't know, there's a whole thing about dreams and getting rid of some stuff and picking up some stuff. But it's one way that the Lord can lead, but it's not the main way. It does happen. All right, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. We'll start in our memory verse in verse 11. I want to read this section out of the Amplified. It just brings out some good thoughts here. It's worth having an Amplified Bible. It's not a great reading Bible as far as, you know, reading chapters and so on, but it really brings out a lot of different thoughts about verses. Romans 8:11, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Christ from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Verse 12, "So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature." Praise God. "To live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh." We can come out of that. We don't have to be like we always have been. "For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you'll surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall readily and genuinely live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." That's all good news, praise God. We can deaden the impulses of the body. You know, praise God for these five senses that we have, because it'd be rough to operate without them. I can tell you that. But also, they give us information that goes contrary to what God is telling us sometimes, a lot of times, and we have to learn to deaden that, these fleshly impulses, and be alive to what the Spirit of God is telling us, but through the Word of God. Make some sense to you? When it says these are led by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God. The word for sons there is grown up. It means if you're being led by the Spirit, you have achieved some growth, some maturity, you're getting your act together a little bit there, which is good. It's not earning anything, but it's available to us that we can grow up. But you can be a Christian apparently and be immature your whole existence until Jesus comes, until you get out of here. You don't grow up just because you've been a Christian for a while. You grow up because you make your mind to grow up. You become a disciple. You read the Word of God and you apply it to your life. Amen? Because, you know, we've all known people who have been born again for 20, 30, 40 years, and spiritually they're just as immature as they were now as they were the day they got born again, sometimes worse. But we want to grow up. Not only because that's good for the people around us, it's good for us. Praise God. Go to James chapter 3. You know, I forgot to say that I had talked to Dr. Lemon early in the week this week. This weekend or next weekend, he's going to be speaking in Tampa at a Assemblies of God Church. Praise God, he's excited about it. And we're agreeing with him that he's going to have strength for that. Going to have a word for them. So and then as we're winding down our conversation, I asked him, "What are you hearing from God?" And this is what some of the things he said. He said, "Tell the people, drop the stuff that you've accumulated that's not doing you any good. And focus on the things that are producing some good in you. Get rid of the things that aren't doing any good." And he was saying, not necessarily that they're bad, but they're not producing anything. And then focus on the things that will produce something. And he said, focus, he said that, and I didn't talk to him at all about what we've been teaching, but he said, focus on the Holy Spirit, especially in the area of healing. Praise God. So I think we can do that. There's been kind of an attack in the sense of sickness and disease. And that doesn't belong to us. So when that shows up at the door, we can say, you don't belong to me. You don't come from God. I don't want you. God doesn't want me to have you. Get. In Jesus' name. Now, James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast or lie against the truth. For this wisdom, see, there's a false wisdom in a sense. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Well, I don't want to be there. And I want there to be here where I am. We want to walk in the kind of wisdom that comes from God that it goes on to talk about. But I want Tom to talk about this. We were having a discussion on Thursday night about the book that we've been reading, and some of these things came up. I thought the timing was pretty good. It just seems like the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. Isn't that funny? And so we were reading some things from Jim Richards, and he was mentioning some things in his book about most of our decisions. And see, this is what we're trying to grow out of, are made from the carnal perspective, because we're used to doing that. We have trained ourselves to operate by, I feel this way, my sense of touch tells me, the five senses are telling me this is the way it is. And then God comes along and says, it's not that way. The truth is underneath all that, or above all that, or beside all that. And so we're having to retrain ourselves to not make that the criteria that we're going to live our life by. Take my situation. This hereditary disease. So, and here's what happens, and it gets like this. So I grew up, and we used to go to the family reunion every year, huge family, and I'd see the stages of the disease in the family, and I'd see the uncles who had their legs amputated and with the, you know, wooden legs and all those things. And that gets into your thinking and psyche, and you very easily, and I did, make your decisions based upon that's going to happen to me. I didn't say that, but I didn't get rid of the thought either. And so my perspective was, this is what's coming. Some of the people in our family, and there's a lot of Christians in our family, praise God. Some of them would say, I'm going to do lots of this because I'll only be able to do it for so long. You know, you think that way. Because we trained ourselves to think that way. Now, yours might not be the same way, but I would think that if you'd be honest with yourself, you would discover that you have some of that kind of thinking too, that you're guiding your life by, sounds, well, carnal principles. That's what we've learned to do. We got this far that way. If we're going to get farther, we're going to have to change the way that we think. So, carnal principles. He's talking about, we draw on the old man resources, carnal principles. This is the way we always did it. We didn't like all the things we got, but it worked to get us this far. We have survived. But you know what, Chuck, we don't want to survive. We want to thrive, right? We want to do better. I don't want to just get through each day. I want to enjoy each day. I get up in the morning, so I've been telling myself, Wayne, this is the day the Lord made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it today. Not I'm hoping I can get through till sun goes down, but we're going to thrive, praise God. And the information for the five senses And we apply a little personal logic because we've learned to do things certain ways to get through. And you like to say, Dr. Richard says, and we sign it all in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I prayed for today. But we get the same old things that we've been getting. I don't think any of us want the same old things we've been getting. We want to move on. So we've got to leave that carnal perspective behind, and it's a retraining. It doesn't just, it would be nice if we get you all up here and get Diane to pray for you and get all the carnal out and all the spiritual in, and you'd never make a carnal decision again. Wish we could. Doesn't work that way. We get born again, bang, like that, we're born again. But this other part is a process. Probably until Jesus comes, it's a process. We're going to continue to grow in it. But let's continue to grow. So we change it by prayer, by reading the Word and applying it to our life, and by meditating on what the Scripture means to us. I don't automatically think those things. I don't automatically think I should be meditating. I have to make myself think that way if I'm going to change. Because my mind wants to meditate. Problem is what it meditates on. When we get to this age, it's like you feel something and you go, ooh, what's that? I hope it isn't that. Because I heard somebody had that, and somebody's in the hospital with that, you know, and you start meditating and seeing yourself going that way, and you start going that way because that's how we were trained to do. So we've changed the meditation. Let's read on here in James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Want to do a good Bible study? Go through and look up all those words. I've done it before, and that's not my subject for this morning, but this is wisdom that's from above, and it's they're all good principles in there that they were all capable of doing. But I believe that this kind of wisdom comes from what I would call in my life my devotional life. I better spend some time in prayer today. I better have a devotional life. And it's not just, for me, it's first thing in the morning, but it's not just a time in the Bible reading, not just a time in prayer, not just the meditating, but it's a focus underneath everything all day long of recognizing the Holy Spirit's in there. And as soon as something's going on, we used to grow up with, you better pray and storm heaven. And you don't have to storm heaven. Heaven's living on the inside of me, praise God. So we have, and it's a way of thinking. It's a way of recognizing. It's a spiritual focus instead of a carnal focus. It's not poor old me. It's, man, I'm blessed. It's a way of thinking. Praise God. So let's look at a couple scriptures in Psalms. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, probably right about in the middle of your Bible. And you know what the main subject there is? The Word of God. Psalm 119, 105, you probably have underlined already. We're talking about getting direction from the Holy Spirit and to give him a map to work with. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I looked up those words about word, the Word of God therein. A lamp unto my feet means it's like a flashlight, like you can look down and see where you are, because like I've said so many times before, hard to give directions to somebody who doesn't know where they are. Somebody will say, how do I get to your church? Where are you? I don't know. Can't give you directions then. But if they say, you know, I'm over in Troy, okay, this is what you do, and it come that way. You start out recognizing where you are, which is being honest with yourself too and saying, I'm not doing so well where I am. But this is where I am, and I want to come out of here. I'm going to come from there. And then light into my path is when shining out ahead. And you're, God doesn't give us the whole path, but he does give us the next steps if we're listening. If we have fallen flat on our face, like Diane would tell you, God was trying to warn us somewhere. And we didn't hear it. And he's not mad at us. He's not judging us. He's not asking us to put ourselves down. He's just saying, learn from that and move on. Amen. Now, farther on, Psalm 119, verse 130, says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I don't know about you, but I qualify. Simple, naive, don't have all the facts, too easily misled. But the word of God gives understanding. And when you begin to get the understanding, then we shouldn't be falling the same way over and over again. That'll learn something somewhere along the way. Somebody say, I have 25 years of experience, and what they mean is they've fallen the same way for 25 years. That's God has better for us than that. Praise God. All right, back to the New Testament. Romans chapter 14. Let me do it on time here. You know what happens when I look at the clock? Absolutely nothing. Okay. Yep. Romans 14, 17. Paul's been talking about eating and eating food offered to idols and all those different kinds of things. And he said, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is not dieting. It's not, I believe, eating the right foods is good and the wrong foods is bad and those kind of things, but that's not the kingdom of God. Somebody tells you really be spiritual if you eat this and don't eat that, and everything to do with it. Maybe a good practice, but not anything spiritual to it at all. But the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Good verse of scripture, praise God. Really, there's meat here. And really, you could think about this as a filtering system. You begin to feel like you have a leading from the Spirit of God, so you can run it through righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And everything, the basis of everything, starts with righteousness, as far as we're concerned. It's first of all, you wouldn't want to be pulled out of a position of righteousness. You're not going to lose your position of righteousness, but you don't want to operate outside of the sphere of righteousness, and you don't want to operate outside of an understanding of righteousness. I think it needs to start from there. It needs to start from recognizing that we are. So many Christians would never say that I'm righteous, because I'm trying to be righteous. I'm hoping to get righteous. I'm going to try to be more righteous. But if you don't know that you are righteous, you ain't never going to get there, praise God. So we've got to start from that place and recognize. Even if I just messed up, I still have righteous standing with God, and I'm qualified to be led by the Spirit of God. I could have just fallen flat on my face and taken a whole bunch of people with me. But yet the Holy Spirit's still there for me, and I'm still qualified for the promises. The big one, as far as I'm concerned, too, is peace. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It says over in, let's see, where's that scripture at? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The Amplified says, let the peace of God rule or act as an umpire in your hearts. Let peace be your umpire. Let peace help you decide whether it's the right way to go or not. And understanding that peace is not out here. Peace is in here. You can have peace on the outside and not be at peace on the inside, and vice versa. I remember Diane and I, some nice people close to us had loaned us the money to help us buy a house. And a year had gone by, and we weren't able to pay it back yet. And so they began to say to it, we really need to see if you can get that money back to us. So we went to the bank, and I went to the bank and talked to them, and they gave me the right. They spent a lot of time with it, looked at our finances, gave us the right to get the money to pay them, this person back, so that we could owe the bank and not owe them. And so in the process of time, they had to spend some time at the bank looking at our finances and so on. They called me up and said, "You got the loan, come and get the check," and so on. So I'm trying to stay sensitive to the Lord about that. And the Holy Spirit was just not going to let me alone as far as that loan was concerned. It just wasn't the right thing to do. I didn't know how I was going to pay these people off, but it just was not going to be right. So I had to go back in and tell them, "I can't do this." There was not peace on the outside. We went through all this trouble and even getting yelled at by the, "You set this up so you can have the money. Can't do it. Sorry, can't do it." Didn't have peace in here. To have peace in here, I had to stop it. And I did. So then we went back and, you know, said, "Lord, here we are. And you take good care of us," basically. So, and then in a matter of short period of time, the Lord brought the money in some other way and took care of it. And, you know, pays to listen to him, because I would have had a loan to try to figure out some other way. Those kind of things, I think, happen on a regular basis, so we've got to learn to listen. And joy in the Holy Ghost, there's an inward rejoicing that you want to stay hooked into. What does it say in James chapter 1? Count it all joy, even if there's temptations all around, because the testing of your faith, not God testing you, but when you try faith and it works, praise God, brings patience. Consistently constant. Continue to walk in God. Run your decisions through the filtering system. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Integrity is part of our guidance system. The English word has to do with wholeness. It's having principles and living by them. Does that make sense to you? Sometimes I think we have principles, but we don't live by them. I believe in being honest, but you're not honest. You know, I believe in paying my bills, but you don't pay your bills. Those that we have principles, but live by them. And when there's a pulling forward in that, because there are things that you just won't do because it wouldn't be integrity. I always remember, I know I've shared this with you before, but my brother was selling me his motorcycle, an Asa, a Swedish motorcycle, a trail bike, and he was selling it to me for $400, $250cc Asa trail bike. And I went to the local Justice of the Peace, and she was somebody that our family knew, and up in her office, I remember sitting there. And I said, I'm going to buy it. I need it notarized. And so she said, "Well, we can call this a gift, and you won't have to pay any sales tax." And I wasn't paying much attention. I looked up, but she was looking me right in the eye to see what I was going to do about that. I said, "No, well, it's not a gift. I'm paying for it. I'll pay the taxes," because I think that wasn't God testing me. That was Betty Meeker testing me to see what this Christian family guy would do. But integrity, you know, will lead you forward. It is, all right, I can save a few bucks here, but it's not honest. It's not, I think we need to stay away from under the table things and those kind of things and just be led forward by integrity, the character. Character acts as an instrument. It pulls us forward. All right, back to Romans again, chapter 8. finish up here with verse 16 again. Well, I didn't read that before, I guess. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I don't know that I've ever heard the voice of God. Came really close when I was riding along with my dad, and I felt like God was saying it was time to go to Rhema. It just almost seemed like an audible voice. I don't know that it was. Dad didn't hear it. But it was very strong to me. But a lot of times it's not that way. And you may live down here and go to heaven and never hear the voice of God. But He will be bearing witness to your spirit. On a regular basis is probably the number one way that He leads. What Brother Hagin would say, there's a real good book by Brother Hagin called Being Led by the Spirit of God, and he says in there, this is the number one way that God leads. There's just a witness on the inside. I looked it up in the Strong's, bear witness, and it has to do with, He gives us evidence. He provides evidence for us that this is the right way to go, if we're paying attention to that evidence. I watch a lot of these survival shows, you know, and these guys that can survive out in the cold in Alaska and so on, they don't know how to read signs. They know how to read tracks. You watch them, they're walking along, oh, that's a wolf, and that's a marten, and that's a, you know, this. They know just by the track what it is. Well, God's providing those kind of things for us that we need to look down and see, you know, or look up and see, I guess, and continue to move forward in Him, being led by the Spirit. He bears witness. So, what are some keys here? We need to get moving. Don't just sit and pray for the next 4 years and then see if you should move forward. Move forward. You do what seems to be right, and as you move forward, you begin to say, that is right, or that's not the right way to go. And you'll know, because steering the car is easier when it's moving. Run the decisions through the filtering system. Follow peace. Amen? Because God wants to bring us out of the carnality of where we are into the blessings that He has already provided for us, that we're already qualified for. Life is supposed to be better than most of what we've experienced so far. And we've had some good experiences, but there's a lot more. There's a lot more. I mean, people, generations before us, have had great revivals and so on. Love that song about revival. But you know, we get to the place where we don't need to be revived because we're vived. You understand what I'm saying? We should not have to be revived and then revived and then revived and then revived. We should just get vived and then live that way, praise God. And it's going to take the Holy Spirit of God to lead us into that place. Does it excite you to think that we could be led by the Spirit that way? Praise God. And you know, in praise and worship has a big part to play in all this, that when you're praising God, He inhabits those praises, and he's a strong, when there's a corporate sense of the presence of God, I think it's stronger than when it's just individual sometimes. And He can lead you. He can say things to you. I recognize this. He can say things to you in the middle of a sermon that I didn't say at all. How many found that to be true? I've heard preacher preaching, it's way over here, and I heard something way over there. But it was God, because He's able to do that and wants to. So, let's worship.